Welcome to Spiritual Spectrum in the Way of Consciousness Radio. Practical spiritual living with the light of truth found within the communion of God's presence here and now. In communion with God, stand, behold, and celebrate one living reality and being.
And welcome to Spiritual Spectrum, and we, of course, invite you into this living moment, and every moment, as the Divine Presence letting you. Again, we're glad to be with you tonight, and tonight we have Micah producing the show, so say hi, Micah.
Hello, hello.
And we'll probably begin with our traditional prayer. And then Mike has got a wonderful reading from the cards for us tonight. And we'll then move into a wonderful interview I'm looking forward to doing with Father Brian Rice. And so we're glad each and every one of you has joined us tonight. We encourage you to either communicate by chat or to dial in and talk to us. If you have any comments, questions, or you just want to say hi, we encourage you to do that. And that number to do that is 1-347-237-5625. Once again, 1-347-237-5625. And with that, we'll turn it over to Brother Micah.
All right. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for your gift of today. May I open my present one precious moment at a time, and may I share your love found in each moment with everyone whom I will encounter. Amen.
Amen.
A few days ago, there was a multi-deck reading that I posted on my Brenda Lightwolf Facebook page that really resonates with where a lot of people are at right now. So I dealt from the Archangel Oracle and the Tree Magic decks. We start off with the Ginkgo Tree. Treasures that arrive like gifts from heaven may be of the spirit or the earth. A rare and fruitful event is forecast for you to treasure, symbolized by the silver fruit, the translation of the Chinese word yinguo, or ginkgo. The event will be quite extraordinary because the ginkgo is the only surviving member of a species so ancient that its leaf veins predate those found in any other living tree. Fall could bring a spectacular change as the fan-shaped leaves turn from apple gold to brilliant yellow. Someone may need to fan the flames of passion. The Chinese call the ginkgo the godfather godson tree because it takes one or two generations to produce fruit. Rich rewards destined for you when the time is ripe cannot be hastened. There's been so much that has happened recently that could be urging us to reignite the flames of passion in our lives. And when we say passion, we are not just talking about the flames of passion in a relationship, but it is possible that this is the message for you today. There may have been stagnation in your life that has prevented you from moving forward towards what you are passionate about. If the flames are there, but only in the embers of your spirit, there is someone in your life that can help to fan them to reignite what drives you. Finding this person may be difficult. Discerning who this person is may be an enigma. There are clues all around you as to whom you need to turn to in order to alight your spirit. We're also being led to remember that it takes time for our efforts to produce fruit. We have to plant the seed in order for the plant to grow. There must be a time period that has to pass in order for the tree to grow tall enough to produce the luscious fruit that can be given to others. We may have already grown to the point where we can produce this fruit, but because of the stagnation in our hearts and spirits, we aren't seeing any. There may be a drought inside that has prevented the nourishment required to produce. What is it? What caused it? Are we strong enough to look? Do we have what it takes to continue the work in order to produce that which we are called to? We hear from Archangel Haniel. Trust and follow your renewed passion in your love life and career. Playing it safe can lead to staleness and depression. You've asked for more happiness and definite direction. I've lit the flame of passion in your heart to lead and guide you. It's safe for you to take risks and follow your heart's desire. Ask me to be your partner along your path of passion to guide and nurture you. When you feel a strong knowingness alongside a burning passion, pay attention, as this is my way of giving you information about your next step. When things seem to continuously go wrong because of decisions we've made, there's a danger that we just stop. Stop our path, stop our passion, and stop our movement. When this happens, we can really find ourselves in negative mind loops, those we've strived so hard to release and not allow to hold us back anymore. When we fall into our own traps like these, we don't know how to get out. We don't know what we can do to get back our vim and vigor in order to jump back on track and get on with our lives with new and renewed passion. We have to relearn and rekindle the flames of passion that once moved us. It was said before that we may need assistance in this. Archangel Haniel can be one of the guides that you turn to in order to accomplish this. She will put in your life that which will help you rekindle what you've lost. Truth is, you've never lost it, and you just might have lost sight of it. You may have just misplaced what you've known or replaced what you've known with a different path. Sometimes we don't always take the path that we know is going to be in our best interest or in the interest of our path. We do have the ability to turn around and make our way back to where we started going. We don't have to sit in the fear that our every decision will cause more destruction in our lives. Like we have heard several times over the last couple of weeks, we can rebuild. We can use the passion that Haniel can reignite within us to get on track. We can use this renewed passion to reach the safe feelings we once had. What if we've never felt safe? What if we've never felt that we could trust the path that has lain out before us? What if the events in our lives continuously hit brick walls and we feel that we can't get to where we're going? Here's an interesting perspective to think about. What if we were? What if the illusion of fear was so present in our minds that we had been moving forward the whole time and just didn't realize it? What if our entire lives have been building up to the point where we can actually turn and look at the accomplishments and failures and realize that we did exactly what we were supposed to? Haniel is coming to us today, to those of you who truly need this, to remind us of this fact. In order for us to learn, we have to be educated. What better way to learn and appreciate the lessons than to actually go through them? This is a bittersweet and probably enraging perspective for some, but it is true. How can we know if we haven't been there? So what does all this mean? We hear from the Tree of Heaven. Aim high. Gifts of heaven will be granted to you. Dream, plan, and believe. Like the Tree of Heaven, whose name, Adiantus, Altissima, means strong enough to reach heaven. Great news will inspire you to stretch yourself beyond your usual boundaries. You are destined to succeed in your chosen field. With tenacity, you strive higher than others toward the light. As the Tree of Heaven appears skeletal in winter, so your ambition will endure and mature with nobility, even in harsh circumstances such as isolation or overcrowding. You may soon be mixing in an all-female or all-male group to achieve an aim. You may reap the rewards of your lofty success in June when the Tree of Heaven's large clusters of sweet-smelling, pea-like flowers bloom. And when its pretty winged, fluttering seed envelopes fly in the fall, you will see that it was worth reaching for the stars. You can't force growth. This much is known. When we're faced with being pushed in a direction that we're not comfortable going in, we fight back. We resist. The seed was planted, and what do we do with it is up to us. We can react with fear, with complacency, or we can be grateful for the sowing. Our initial reaction may be to lash out, but let it set. Let it take root and see what is produced. We can stretch our consciousness to new heights if we just allow ourselves. We are almost through the fall season. Winter is nearly upon us. We see the trees that respond to the change in temperature and placement of the sun. We know that we are approaching the months where being inside and having the opportunity for contemplation and planning is in our grasp. There can be movement when there is, quote, death around us. It is not the end. We know that in spring, just a few months away, we can see that life is always renewed. Much like our passion, which can be renewed if we allow it, things move. Things happen. Decisions are made. Seeds are planted. Ideas are brainstormed. We can make the needed changes in our thinking and our passions in order to begin to bear fruit for us to reap in the summer. Patience, faith, and trust are necessary elements when following dreams and passions. The question was raised not too long ago, possibly yesterday, as to why it is so much easier for people to frown than it is to smile. Even though it takes more muscles and more effort to frown, it is what is easy to us. We don't exactly know why, but it is. The point of that was many of us are stuck in ruts of comfort zones that we want to break free from, but we're afraid of the work we know is required to get to where we want to go. Dreams happen, but not without work. Passion is followed, but not without renewing it. Renewal requires work. Comfort zones just are. We know them. We know what to expect. We may not like it, but we know the outcome without having to put too much effort into it. What we don't realize is that we are putting effort in that is not healthy to our passion, our health, or our heart. Our spirit gets diminished when we just give in and stay where we are comfortable because it's easier. Our relationships suffer more because of our misery. Our finances suffer because we're always waiting for the next shoe to fall. Our health suffers because we're stressed all the time. We lose sleep, drag our heels, give in to anger, and ignore the signs that could move us away from this. We have been given gifts from heaven. We have guides to help us with these gifts. We have the resources within us to do what we know in our hearts we should be doing. What we need more of is faith, hope, patience, and surrender. Because of the world around us expecting certain things from us, we usually feel we don't have time for any of those things. The world wants us to move when it says move, regardless of how it is going to affect us. This comes to us in the forms of food costs, credit cards, mortgages, taxes, and other things that we have created to control the world around us. We put people in power to continue this tradition on. We've heard recently that the traditions that we're surrounded by are illusion, and many of them aren't working in our favor anymore. Not enough people who've made this realization are standing up to make the changes to get away from the illusion and move towards truth. By living your truth, finding your passion, and renewing your spirit, you can make a difference. It may seem small to you, but because we are all connected, there is a root system that starts to jut out from you and touch others. Be the change you want to see. How many times have we heard this? If you want to see the world around you change, you have to change the world within first. Renew your passion. Live your truth. Yes, this is redundant, but the messages are circling around us, waiting for us to take them in our hearts and be the beings of light we've all been called to be. We know the darkness. Most of us have lived there all of our lives. We can step out of the darkness, reignite the embers that are nearly out, and see that the light that is truly around us. It is not an easy path to take. It is not completely welcomed in the world around us. There are those who are so comfortable living in the darkness that they will attempt to drag any and all of us down. They are so afraid to see the light and the truth that they will devour anyone who attempts to do otherwise. You can be the change you wish to see. It is scary. It is terrifying, but it is glorious, fruitful, and full of love. If any of this is confusing to you, write down in a journal what you feel you need to focus on. Meditate on it. Send a private message to your reader or a friend or for clarity. The answer will present itself in the manner that it is supposed to be. Life's changing. Doors are opening. The challenge is whether or not we have the strength, faith, and brevity to walk through them. We can help each other on our individual paths. We are connected after all.
Amen, whole in amen. It is always a joy and a wonder that for those of us that live from that living divine, indwelling divine presence, the giftings and the tools, that presence shares its wisdom from all directions to us. And we are always gifted and gracious when Micah shares many of his wonderful intuitive readings with us. They're often very practical, and that's what I love about them most. So with that, we will introduce now our guest, Father Brian Rice, a colleague, esteemed friend, a fellow servant of God, a gifted Christi Kundalini yoga teacher who resides on the East Coast in New York, and we thought it was time to reintroduce him and have him share with us about his present path and all that is happening, which is exciting from what I hear. So with that, to welcome Father Brian. How are you tonight?
I'm great, Father Michael. How are you?
I'm excellent, excellent. It's always a joy to hear your voice and have you back.
Likewise, likewise. Thank you.
So, Father Brian, why don't you tell us about the path that you're presently on and all of the great fruits that are coming out of that?
Sure. Well, I would have to say that the beginning of this ongoing unfolding process that's been taking place for me began several years ago. I would say 11
yeah.
years ago, and I didn't know that Kundalini Yoga was going to be a part of the Christic path until, let's say, probably within the last few years. I had taken discipleship vows in a Kriya lineage, Kriya Yoga lineage, and under Master Yogananda's Ananda Church of Self-Realization through them, and I feel that that Yogananda led me to this path, even though, because he did promise as a guru that he would help people find their guru if they were to find it. And in the Kundalini path, we discover that the inner guru is a true guru. And the way it's been unfolding is that I had some progressive revelations over a period of time when I was practicing actually shamanism. And I had been introduced to Yogi Bhajan 6 years ago, I would say, maybe going on 7 years ago. And I didn't know who my guide was at the time. He didn't tell me his name. I had met him in a journey, in a process. It was the likeness and the exact figure of Yogi Bhajan, the father of Kundalini Yoga in the West. And a leader for many people. And it wasn't until 2 years ago that I found out what he really looked like in person when he was alive. And when I saw the picture of him, I connected it to the vision, connected it to the revelations that were unfolding over time. And honestly, I knew I was in the right place. Kundalini Yoga found me. I didn't find that. It found me.
Exactly. And usually that's how it happens, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the yogi, when did he come to the West? What year was it?
I believe... and I got to brush up on my history, but he was 1969, I believe, he did some of his first teaching here. Yes, 1969.
I've only seen a picture of him just recently, and of course that was an older picture. But I think I remember him from the 70s when he was much younger. And so I think I believe I know who you're talking about. And of course, the Kundalini path is primarily focused, as you said, on the inner guru and the energetic yoga, path of yogi. Is that correct?
Yes, it's... Actually, you're right on. The path is one of energy and awareness
the yoga of energy and awareness. We call that Shakti sometimes.
Right.
And it's an unfolding path that for many people brings about inner excellence and brings about one's unfolding potential, really. It's not all about the fireworks, and it's not all about the enlightenment experience. It's about becoming happy, healthy, and holy. And
right.
It's pretty simple. Its precepts are simple, but it's not an easy path.
No.
Not everyone desires to take it. But for me, karmically, it made sense.
I know one of the things that always interests our listeners, and maybe you could share a simple tool. What's the best way to keep all of our chakras connected, open, and flowing continuously?
Well, that's very good.
Kundalini yoga.
Well, that's a very good question. And I'm taking some advanced training right now where I'm learning even more about this. But really, amidst much of New Age information in this new era of spirituality, this new thought era of spirituality, we hear about opening the chakras, and we hear it sometimes, let's open this one, let's open the third eye, let's not, and sometimes what we do is what we want to do really is we want to focus on specific chakras instead of the whole, instead of all of them. And really the key is to not dismiss the lower chakras. We want to live up in the from the heart up. Many of us do, and I'm just the same way. But we need to focus on the lower ones as well. The root, the base, the Swadhisthana, and the navel and the Manipura chakra, and the solar plexus. Very much because that in the Kundalini path, we talk about having a strong foundation.
Exactly.
You can't build a pyramid from the top down.
Right. And of course, most of our balancing, centering energy that comes up through the earth comes up, of course, first through those lower base chakras.
Absolutely.
And then they're integrated within the solar and the heart area. And then they rightfully, healthily, then it's safe for them to flow up to the higher chakras.
That's correct. And the heart is really a big, important one. It's a transformer of the lower into the higher frequencies, and it serves as a gateway to the higher ones. It's the higher chakras. And we want to raise our Kundalini up safely every day, and the safest way to do that, I will say, that I've come to know is through methods of yoga. Kundalini yoga is one of many yogas, and meditation is another way. And the reason we want to raise Kundalini up is because we ultimately, our higher potential is experienced in the process, in the unfolding of the awakening of Kundalini, which in its essence means awareness. It's not a snake in our spine, like some people would think that there's this invisible snake, but it's just it's the pathway that the energy takes, and it's awareness that we're looking to work with, and ultimately it is healthy to do it every day in some way, and through breathing, through meditation, and through yoga postures. Those are just three things you can do.
Yeah. So I would say there's probably not a whole lot of difference between the kriyas you learned under Yogananda's Ananda community and that of the path of Kundalini. What do they have in common? What do they share most alike?
Well, I would say the idea of kriyas, kriya being action, completed action, that's what that means, and there's some mudras or positions that are very common that we use, and some of them, one of them is the Maha Mudra, the Great Mudra, and I learned that in my Kriya preparation, and we use that quite often in Kundalini. And what's the energy work, what I love about Yogananda, what he said is the one who raises his Kundalini as fast approaches Christhood, and that really spoke to me, because being a priest and a servant of God in that way and of Christ, and trying to connect with my inner Christ, the Christ within, that spoke to me, and I carry that over into my Kundalini practice.
Yes, and would you say your present path and your present teacher, did he have a Christic emphasis like Yogananda? Because I think for most of the metaphysical and the yogic community, the man that so gave us a different perspective, a higher understanding of the Christic path, was probably Yogananda. He's most loved and remembered for that. But how about the present teacher that you committed to?
Well, Yogi Bhajan, being the father of Kundalini Yoga in the West, he of course, is no longer with us in body and but in spirit. But in spirit, he talked many times in the readings that I've encountered about sacrifice and about the caliber of an individual. And he talked about being literally how to transform suffering into something glorious, taking what my teacher says, making pain and turning it into infinite gain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one thing I think that stands out for me, that he, because my teacher, my current teacher, is he learned with and he studied with Yogi Bhajan many years ago.
Uh-huh.
But even my teacher now, Ravi Singh, he talks a great deal about the parallels between the experiences of Kundalini and our energy and our chakras with the Holy Spirit. And he talks about that very in an integral way, a cohesive way.
Well, Mike, have you got any questions for Father Brian tonight that you can think of?
Well, one thing that was striking my curiosity, especially for the Kundalini meditations. A few questions. First, for people who haven't worked with Kundalini energies, would you suggest that they work under the supervision of a trained instructor? Because it can be, from what I understand, dangerous to work with those energies without knowing what you're doing.
Do you want me to answer that question first before you go on, or?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, working with an instructor is important, and not just because. And this is something that we've been taught in the path is that it's more dangerous not to do Kundalini yoga than it is to do Kundalini yoga, because when you're doing Kundalini, raising the Kundalini energy, through yogic practice, not just Kundalini yoga, you're allowing your body and your mind and your spirit to experience what it's capable of experiencing. There are certain checks and balances put into the system, the way that the technology, the spiritual technology, is designed to keep you from experiencing more shakti than you're ready for. So, but yes, I say connect with the teacher. The misnomers, there are misnomers about what some people call the Kundalini syndrome, and I say to listeners that what many people actually think they're experiencing when they think they're experiencing dangerous things, some manifestations that might be characteristic of the dark night of the soul or the dark night of the senses and the path of spirituality, is actually an absence of Kundalini, and not necessarily the haphazard workings of Kundalini, because Kundalini is awareness, and awareness is leads us to our ultimate potential, and as opposed to a darkened sense. So when people are experiencing what they think to be Kundalini awakening in a dangerous sense, it's actually an absence of Kundalini that is not working. So the best way to do that is through meditation, pranayama, or breath control, and then or asanas, or anything sacred and reverent, really.
Tell me if I'm wrong here, and not that I do not support the idea of spiritual elders and yogis and gurus, but much of that teaching that Micah made reference to, can we say that was a scare tactic in order to protect the traditional yogic lineage from yogic to disciple? And the other thing is, God understands. God looks at the heart of the person. And it is the Spirit of God, ultimately, that is overshadowing each and every one of us by his presence and forever controlling those energies if we allow him to. So there is never any need for real fear. Understanding is important, but ultimately the relationship that you have with the inner guru, the divine presence, the Holy Spirit, is the overriding end, fruit, and what protects, guards, leads, and guides our practices.
Absolutely. You're right on the money, Father Michael, and I know you always speak with great wisdom, and I'm always eager to tune into what you're saying. And again, I did tonight and just now, and what you said about the disciple-guru relationship and fear, the element of fear is very, very much a part of the control tactics that have been put in place for... Some people say for safety purposes, but it's really, I think it's an abuse of power in a certain sense, and has been. Now, some of my greatest spiritual teachers have been people who subscribe to disciple guru.
Sure.
And I'm not speaking out against that. I think the reverence that's taught through that and is amazing, and it's something to be totally taken very seriously. But honestly, yes, I think that much of what could be shown or given to a person through their own experiences of the Holy Spirit within, the Guru within, the inner teacher within, we are sometimes shielded from that when we give ourselves over blindly to maybe a guru who wants to say that you need them to awaken.
Right.
So which you don't, because and what's interesting, and I think Kundalini Yoga can teach us all something about life, the mystery of life, is that we awaken through, yes, grace, but also through our own partaking and through our own involvement in that process, and that self-initiating path. So
right.
It really
that's
is about
participation or cooperation. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, words are only words until they're put into the experiential.
Yes.
Yes. I agree.
So there are times that I've run Kundalini energies, excuse me, in meditation, and I'll notice in myself a burning sensation in one of the chakra areas. Now, it doesn't bring a lot of fear. It's just one of those very cooling, pleasant feelings of that particular chakra being cleaned and realigned and set into spin correctly again. And for some people who don't understand that, they might find a little bit of fear when that happens, like, oh my God, what's happening to me? Have you ever had anybody express that experience?
Yes. Micah, that's a good point you brought up, a very good thing that you're emphasizing, because it can be very pleasant, but when you're not used to it, it does seem it seems foreign, that we do tend to react with, oh my goodness, what's happening? Is this right? And really, the Shakti energy, the Kundalini energy, whether through meditation or our breath practice or whatever it may be, yogic or any other reverent path, the chakras can become unblocked, they can become opened, and they start to resonate and actually radiate the life force in and through us on a higher level. And I take me back to what you were saying. I don't want to go too far off, but people have expressed, yes, the concern about when their chakras or when they feel something happening in a certain area of their body. But that's nothing to be afraid of when you feel tingling or some people call it the sensation of like ants crawling. Some people experience it as a detox experience. You know, it's like a releasement of energy. And it's all meant to be for the best. It's all meant to be for one's higher potential. And the little manifestations that occur, they're just to remind us that it's happening, that it's an ongoing process, and that ultimately we will never fully allow ourselves to go further than we're ready for if that's where devotion comes into play. Yeah, if devotion or bhakti is present in your practices, whatever it may be. I'm not speaking not just about Kundalini Yoga. I'm speaking about all meditative practices. That you will ultimately, you're ultimately going to keep the Kundalini raised within you, because it's through things such as in Swami Kriyananda from Ananda, the direct disciple of Yogananda. He talks about kindness, compassion. He speaks how Yogananda spoke of kindness, compassion being things that help to keep the Kundalini raised. So it's ultimately compassion for oneself, compassion for one's practice, compassion for those that you're working in company with or in a group setting, and those very attributes can help contribute to a positive experience of Kundalini unfolding.
Absolutely, and I think the and this might be my own personal bent or prejudice here, but to me, the most solid foundation that we can have in any spiritual practice, whether it's of East or West, is that it is built upon the bhakti, the devotion, the total surrendering in and to the love of God, which again does nothing but lead us into our highest good and protects us, guides us, and forever woos us into that bliss consciousness that we truly are, which is our natural state of being. And sometimes I think what scares people is that they feel so good and so alive and they don't know what to do with that.
Of course. It can be startling.
Yes. Which, again, leads me back then to the time in which we are living. The old paradigm is shifting. It's changing. And today, the emphasis and the acceleration of all things that we are beginning to experience is really, is it not throwing us back into ourselves, to that indwelling divine presence, that inner guru, dependence upon it rather than the external guru or the external rites that we have for centuries been dependent upon?
Absolutely. It's all about inner communion.
Yes.
Any yogic path or any devotional path, any mystical path, ultimately is about communion and being one with, that's what yoga means, to be united
right.
to or to be in union with.
Right.
So, yes, it's that is very true. The kingdom is within, and the chakra system is that very kingdom that we speak of. It's the in the metaphysical sense, but ultimately it's experienced in multiple levels, the kingdom within experience. But yes, I mean it is. So we shouldn't be in this era. We finally evolved in consciousness to the point where we're able to recognize those inner experiences, to be and to affirm them, and to be
right.
feel affirmed by them as well, you know, and
right.
not to be scared to well, we shouldn't tempt fate necessarily, so to speak, but I mean, but we can take our destiny into our own hands by
right.
partaking through the inner experience within ourselves.
So again, by being thrown back within ourselves and upon ourselves to that inner guru, to that inner divine indwelling presence that is always there, is this not a call to each and every one of us now to return to self-responsibility for our paths and our destiny and our choices that we live from and make?
Absolutely. You're right on with that, Father Michael, and I think that people should rewind and listen to that a couple times, because that's ultimately, I mean, we're going into a shift here, a shift in consciousness, a shift in ultimately in many levels of existence, and into ultimate dawning of this Aquarian age, and in this era of new spirituality and new thought, the new paradigm as you're speaking of, we have to make room for the expansiveness that is ultimately going to unfold within you at the time that is right, which is now.
Right. Now, maybe you can share with our listeners, because you have a very wonderful, popular and growing radio program that's part of Way of Consciousness Radio. Maybe you can share with us about that program and turn some more people on to listening when they can to that program and the teaching that flows from that.
Absolutely. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to mention it really quick. Turning Points and Transformations has been a godsend for me. It's just been a very humbling experience being able to share each week stories of breakthroughs, not just in my own life, but revelations that have come through insights shared and experienced with other people on the spiritual path. And, you know, the program itself airs on Wednesdays. The time, it varies. I like to air it, but it's always on demand to be right here on the Way of Consciousness Radio Network. And it's usually archived as soon as prime time Wednesday evenings comes about. But
right.
I urge you to listen to some of the on-demand episodes if you, you're out there listening. And the topics range from things like oneness and to dealing with reality and dealing with down-home situations, that finding the extraordinary in the ordinary. So, but we also talk about, I also talk about some very real things such as suffering and how we can alleviate that. And we ultimately have a role in that. We don't have to be self-debasing or self-belittling or add to our suffering and somehow enjoy that. We can somehow transform that. And that's what I think that Turning Points and Transformation, the essence of it, is about turning pain into infinite gain, like I said earlier.
Absolutely. So share with us the Christic emphasis to this yogic path. You and I, for a long time, have shared a interest in this path, and many of the gurus and teachers that we have encountered within our lives ultimately brought us to a place where we found that we did not have to reject what we called the Christic path for a purely yogic Eastern cultural path, but that they were one and the same. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that and how we can better relate that to many of the Christians that are listening and many of the progressive Christians, as well as the metaphysical Christians that are listening to this program.
Ultimately, I think what you're getting at, and what you want, I think what people need to hear is that it's scary to think of all things as being one, but the concept of oneness is elementary to unfolding to our unfolding potential, and that means looking at things cross culturally and in looking things as thing one thing as being inclusive of other traditions, and we can't the idea of separation exists in for many of us, and we tend to divide things. We tend to divide reality up. That's what the calculating left brain mind does. The Western mind does what we do, and we instead what the Christic path. Why I think it's so unique with that of the yogic or the metaphysical path or the Eastern paths, the various ones that there are, is that ultimately it is it's the gateway to the spirit and soul that we're interested in, and we all have that, so we all share that in common. And the Christ, the very figure of the Christ that was embodied in the person of Yeshua Jesus, was a living example of one among many spiritual teachers that were enlightened to the point where they were able to manifest love in a way that was understandable. And there's been the concept of avatars from the Hindu tradition, speaking of many different. That there's many different divine incarnations that have come to Earth and that we've been blessed by. Ultimately, I think what we can do is we can embrace a bigger reality by a bigger reality through. I think the Christ himself, he was a rebel in a sense that he sought to. He sought to present himself as one in being with the Father, and one in being with the Father, and one in consciousness with the Father, and he was totally aligned to his truest self. And in doing so, it was challenging the establishment, and we as Christians and progressive Christians and metaphysicians, we all should be concerned about manifesting the very best version of ourselves, and that you can call the Christ, or you can call it the Buddha self, or the Krishna consciousness, whatever it may be for you. It's that's where God meets you, and so the Christic fits in. It's not exclusionary.
No.
The yogic path doesn't say that you can't. Yoga is not a religion, first of all. So that it's a spiritual path. It's a lifestyle. So it's not anything to be feared. It's something to be. It's something that anyone can benefit from. Even the philosophies of yoga, just the philosophy of life. So I think, there's so much. That ultimately, I was very, very, very rigid in my practice when my call to the priesthood first started coming, more than 10 years ago. I thought I was doing all the right things, and I thought that part of it was rejecting all this metaphysics stuff, and I thought that meant being very, very, by the book, by the catechism. Strictly everything being told to me versus me experiencing and coming to find out about things through experience and through the unfolding of consciousness within myself. We have nothing to be afraid of when it comes to speaking of the vastness of spirit.
Right.
Does that speak to anything that you were just asking me?
Yeah.
Well, I believe the underlying philosophy that the Hindus point to, that Hinduism as a traditional historical religion evolved out of, was in essence the universal religion of all mankind, which was known as Santa Dharma, the eternal way of righteousness.
That was the first original expression in relationship with the divine. And all of the other traditional, quote, religions, including Hinduism and Buddhism, and many of the Asian, as well as the Western religions, all flow from the essence of that eternal way.
That's right. Yeah, and we've had this conversation before, and the eternal religion itself, the eternal truths themselves are underneath, they underlie all the great religions and all the great revelations of truth through time and space, and that sometimes I say it a little bit different than you, Sanatana Dharma,
right.
I might say it, but you know, ultimately it was ascribed to Hinduism, but it was predated it, and like you were saying,
right.
And it's that is the mouthpiece, that is the cornerstone of all the great religions, ultimately, and not many of us know about that growing up in CCD classes or in religion classes on Sundays, you know, and we don't know that.
Yes. Well, I think one of the great movements that happened in, I believe it was the late 1800s, early 1900s in this country, which gave a glimpse to a few people of that underlying essence, was what developed in and from the Transcendentalist movement back on the East Coast. Of course, the whole Transcendentalist movement was inspired by the philosophy of Immanuel Kant and that great philosopher and theologian from Germany. And again, Kant himself, I believe, said that this great underlying essence is the original spirituality of all the religions that are. And what is the single purpose for every religion or philosophy known to God or known to man? But to seek that union with God, to live from His presence, to experience that presence, and to be a channel of that presence. All of our rites, all of our prayers, all of our disciplines has only one single goal, and that comes back to that simple practice of the presence of God in every moment of our life.
Well put. Amen.
So have we got any questions from chat yet, or do you have another budding question for us, Mike?
Not one that could be answered prior to meditation.
Okay. Are we close to the top of the hour?
We are just about there.
Okay. So with that, I'll just introduce the fact that we have approximately 5 to 7 minutes of beautiful meditation music. You can commune with the divine. You can go use the toilet. You can go refill that coffee cup or that teacup. Whatever you need to do, share with us these moments and this music that we offer to you, and with grateful hearts from the divine, and we'll be right back with you. Stay with us. Father Ryan is going to continue to be with us here, and see you in a few. Right. Oh, indeed, how glorious, how beautiful. See, the glory of God is great. He is real, and he can be found silently and surely as you walk on the path of life. You must come to the realization that God is the only object, the only goal that will satisfy you. For in God lies the answer to every desire of the heart. Do not be satisfied with less than the highest. Don't waste time in seeking little things. Naturally, it is easier to get other gifts from God than the supreme gift of himself. But don't be satisfied with anything less than the highest. I haven't cared about the gifts that have come to me from God, except what that I see behind him who is the giver. Why are all my desires materialized? Because I go deep. I go straight to God. In every aspect of creation, I see him. He is our Father. He is nearer than the nearest, dearer than the dearest, more real than anybody else. He is both unknowable and knowable. God is crying for you. He wants you to return to him. It is your birthright. You will have to leave this earth someday. It is not an abiding place for you. Earth life is only a school in which he has put us to see how we shall behave here. That's all. Before he will reveal himself, God wants to know whether we desire earth's tinsel glory or whether we have acquired enough wisdom to say, I am through with all of this, Lord. I want to talk to you and you alone. I know you are all I really own. You will be with me when everyone else is gone. Human beings are seeking happiness in marriage, in money, in wine, and so forth. But such people are puppets of destiny. Once this realization is attained, one finds out the true purpose of life and naturally begins to seek God. We must claim our lost divine heritage as sons and daughters of the Most High. The more unselfish one is, the more he tries to give happiness to others. The more likely he will be to think about God. And the more one thinks of worldly goals and of human desires, the farther his soul's happiness recedes from him. We were not put here on earth to grovel in the mud of the senses and get nipped with suffering at every turn. But that which is the world is evil because it suppresses the bliss of the soul. The greatest happiness comes by immersing our minds in the thoughts of God. Again, this is from Paramahansa Yogananda, the great founder and director of self-realization. And we welcome you back. We hope you enjoyed that most beautiful piece of music. And again, let me remind you, we would love to hear from you. Father Brian is very open to answering any questions that you might have, whether it's through chat or whether it's by calling in. So give us a call at 1-347-237-5625. Again, 1-347-237-5625. So, Father Brian, do you presently have a website or a group that you gather online with folks that we might direct them towards your way?
Well, I'm in a period of transition right now. I'm rebuilding. In the process of reconstructing a place to gather. So I admit at this time not have a time anywhere to point people to.
Okay. All right. Well, the whole world is with you in being in a position of transition and transformation. So we'll wait for that great emergence of that the gathering place and share that with others later. If there's one thing you would like to share with our listening audience that flows from your hearts, your heart's desire, what is that?
Wow. let's see. Well, I would have to say that, that ultimately all seeking comes to its most blissful realization when we've gotten out of the way, where we've gotten over ourselves, as I said, as I've said at times on my program that airs on this network as well. You know, we have to get over ourselves, which means to transcend the little self within us and for the greater self, and ultimately it means not just getting out of the way or getting over ourselves, but ultimately coming into ourselves and a full opening through total surrender and through total willingness and allowance of reality to be what it is, the ultimate reality to show itself to you, us. And that happens through not necessarily effort, not necessarily by trying harder, but just it's actually through a process of giving over, and it is a surrender. It is a process. It is something that continues throughout this life, but we come to appreciate the many moments that lead to the unfolding moments and the moments of realization, the moments of awareness, the moments of certitude, the moments of calmness and presence and peace.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the one thing that we really, really seek is what you have already spoken of tonight, that blissful, unitive experience with the oneness of God that is indescribable, and it's something that can only be experienced within yourself. It can't be it's not a secondhand experience. You have to know it for yourself to know that it's true. And
right.
Ultimately, I would say that, speaking from my heart, I would say that where you are at is where you're supposed to be, and ultimately you are in the right position right now to hear these things tonight, and you are ultimately in the right position to meditate upon these things shared here tonight.
I would like to continue to emphasize what Father Brian has just said. Probably the scariest experience we'll ever encounter is indeed that great surrender, falling into the arms of love. To know that outside of that experience, outside of that presence, there is no security, there is no protection, there is nothing that we truly ultimately yearn for. I have often even said to the Lord, you know, Lord, even though I screw up a lot in life, I think I'm not very successful in dying either. So in that, it's that surrender and embrace that begins that ultimate journey that leads to that love, that union, that bliss, that is our heart's desire. And I encourage each of our listeners to look within themselves to affirm that you're infinitely loved right here, right now, just as you are, just where you are. You couldn't be any other place. And if we surrender to that ultimate, that all ultimate reality, we will find that we are always perfectly right where we're supposed to be. Let me also encourage you in this, and that is, this isn't about individualism. It's indeed about self-responsibility, but it's not about individualism as it's about collectivism. Each of us, in our individuality, cannot begin to express that infinite nature of being and power that we call God. But collectively, as we gather into that presence, as we gather into that love, as we gather into that light, and may I say, silently, because often words do just seem to muddle things up and get in the way. The greatest presence, the greatest experience, is when we can come together in that silent unity and collectively feel that presence, that power, that being from which we come from which we are part of, and which ultimately, if we allow it to flow out of us. So with that, Micah, I'm sure you're bubbling about now with some comments and some insight.
Well, And this actually can be for both of you. One thing that I personally have experienced with reconnecting is that there's the unfortunate certain amount of discomfort that goes along with it. Now, in my experience, there is what I call a purge, where whenever we are releasing old habit forms or old ways of thinking or old thoughts, old energies, that the body has to go through a period of healing,
mm-hmm.
just to let us know that the shift is happening within
mm-hmm.
us. Would you agree that that is when something that people can be aware of, that this is going to more than likely take place when they make that shift, when they appreciate the connectedness and openness that they can have within?
Oh, absolutely. I think, and then I'll let Father Brian respond, I think we have to keep close to ourselves those who have been gifted with healing modalities, because I very much believe that a good healer or a good practitioner of healing is able to touch, to serve those energies within our body to help us purge and release those very things that are stored within our cells, within our muscles, within our nerves, within the very substance of our body, and they need to be released. There's a memory. There's nothing that is living and breathing and how can I say, vital, that does not have memory. And the body, as well as the emotional mind, needs to be helped in releasing those hurts, those pains, those moments of suffering, those moments of extreme excruciating for some people times of transition. And so keep close to you those who practice and are very good at their practice of some type of viewing modality. Your insights into this?
Yeah.
Releasement is so key. And what Micah said, the purging process, it can involve so many, it can appear and manifest in so many ways. And for each of us, it's different. And sometimes it comes with physical experiences. Sometimes it comes with more of the metaphysical. Ultimately, yeah, I think what you said, Father Michael, is very important. If we can't necessarily surround ourselves in physical proximity to healers, that we should ultimately allow ourselves to experience what you are going through, without fighting it, without necessarily resisting it, knowing that you are not alone in the process, that everybody does go through these periods of releasement and purging, but ultimately to experience it and know that you will be delivered to a different consciousness, a different state of awareness when through the perseverance and the hope, and keeping hope alive is very, very key to making this making these transitions happen smoothly for us, keeping trust alive, keeping the gift of faith, if we're gifted with the gift of faith, to stay true to ourselves and to not despair during these times of transition.
After all, isn't what we are talking about here the thing that gives us most resistance? Does it not flow from what we call the egoic mind?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, would you agree that there is a very noticeable shift from the old masculine ways of force and control and things having to be just so, and moving away from that and trying to find the feminine balance where things are gentle and compassionate? We find the strength in the gentleness of the feminine energies. And just, you see people struggling with that and trying to make that shift and transition.
Oh, indeed. I think we are all acutely aware of the fact that the intuitive feminine, the sacred feminine, is becoming once again dominant and prominent within the underlying currents and changes that are taking place. And all I can say to that is amen. It's about time again. We need to embrace the mother, the divine mother. We need to embrace that sacred feminine that is part of each and every one of us. Because ultimately, like God, we are spirit. We are neither male nor female. But we were created in His image and His likeness, which is spirit. And we have the capability of expressing both in balance. And the human race, of course, in that act or choice of separation, has indeed throughout the centuries, bounced back and forth between the two and have not well integrated both. But I think we're living in a day where we're seeing the integration of both again.
And I think going back to the Kundalini yoga and meditative practices, focusing in on the chakras below the heart, the sacral, where we define ourselves, where we either give ourselves away or reclaim ourselves, where the masculine and feminine reside, where they one can control the other, or they just don't turn the way that they should. Do you see that as well, Father Brian?
Oh, yes, very much so. And it's funny because, well, it's not funny, but what I was thinking of when you were both speaking is there's a prayer in it was a book by Swami Sivananda, and he said, "Wake up, Mother Kundalini, wake up," and he was speaking of all the lower chakras, giving them names and beautiful names, and I, working with Kundalini, which Shakti that goes hand in hand with that, that is a feminine energy, and for men it can be a very interesting experience to integrate that. Not just interesting, but it can become a total transformative experience, and women are naturally more in touch with those compassionate, gentle qualities that you're speaking of, and we do need to be informed by both. We do need to be informed by the entire spectrum, so to speak, to use the word in this the title of the show, of the spirit and of the chakra system, of the energy system. We have to look at the whole picture, as we were saying earlier, and it's a tree of life that's within us, and the fruit is ripe in all places of that tree and all chakras of that tree, and we can ultimately experience the splendor of that tree, that great tree of life within us, by ultimately taking into consideration the parts that connect us to the earth force, the groundedness, and we have to be here and now, and we can't be any other place in this existence. It has to be here.
Right. Yes, the eternal now. And Micah, maybe you can share with what we were discussing the other day, and we might even have discussed it on the show with Team Gaia.
Great. You might need to narrow that down a bit.
Go for it, brother.
you and I have discussed so many things.
But I think
that you're leading towards the ground that we all always have. We always have roots in Mother Earth. And this is something that is just now becoming apparent in a lot of meditative circles. I can't speak for Father Brian, but in my experience and a lot of other people that I speak with and work with, that is something that is coming to the forefront. And it's up to us, just as it's up to us to connect and allow ourselves to reconnect with the divine, with source, with God. It's also up to us, a choice, to reconnect with the roots that we've already established, with the foundation that we already have.
Right. And, of course, I want to bring it back to that concept that you shared with us from Eckhart Tolle. The fact that there seems to be a phenomena that some are aware of and are experiencing, that there is even a drain upon Mother Earth, because we have so many people that are awakening and drawing from that centering energy of Mother Earth and yet not integrating it into that divine connection within themselves. And as I have always said, men and women are the matrix of God. They are matrix of the universe, and it is within us, embodied here and now, that we unite heaven and earth within ourselves.
Exactly. And one thing that I've worked personally with the group that comes and meditates with me on a weekly basis, we've integrated the infinity, where if you were to take the infinity symbol and put it upright and have it crisscross at your heart, where you are drawing in from the divine, sending it into Mother Earth, taking out the pain that we have stored in Mother Earth in transfer of her healing energies. Instead, now we're pulling those out and giving back, trying to heal her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in response, there's a spark that's sent up that once it reaches our heart, it goes where it needs to go, helps us release what we need to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eckhart Tolle with the pain bodies, we take a thing that happens in our life, we wrap it in a ball of white light and stuff it somewhere. Sometimes it's in Mother Earth, sometimes it's in the divine, sometimes it's in our own bodies. And when we do it, especially when we do it in our own bodies, we create that memory in our body, and we can all of a sudden become depressed, saddened, triggered. We don't know exactly why. We have no clue, but the body remembers. And then once
right.
we make that correlation and understand, we can let it be. We can let it go.
And I think that is very much important to understand, and one of the reasons we've been led to have the show, because this is part of that energetic work of Kundalini Yoga. It can help us, give us understanding and tools in dealing and integrating and balancing these energies within ourselves. Uh-oh, dead air. Are you still with me?
Still here.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I think we just needed a moment of silence for everybody to take in all that was just said.
Yeah. We can do that.
Yes.
I would like to hear Father Brian's input on everything we were just talking about and how you're seeing what's going on energetically right now in the world.
Wow. I resonate very much with the teachings of Eckhart Tolle and the pain body, and in recent talks with a fellow friend about something that was going on in their family. Ultimately, the pain body became a part of our conversation, and how fortunate we are to have had an enlightened man such as him be able to share this concept with us, and because in the situation that I am referring to, it was something that ultimately in my past I was in the same position where the pain except I did not have the awareness that or the knowing of that there was such a thing as the pain body, and had I. Maybe I would have gotten through the situation a little differently, but the good thing is for the person that we were talking about, it was that this new awareness that's being shared through not just Eckhart Tolle, but through multiple teachers, that we do store pain in multiple places, and they are. I agree with everything you gentlemen were just saying, and it's cellular memory. It's deep down into our cells and our DNA, even, and And we have to, and it comes back to the idea of releasement and bringing things to conscious awareness, or what I know Eckhart Tolle talks about bringing something, allowing something to be being the space for something, being the
mm-hmm.
space for this, being the space for this, being the space for that, being bringing something from its unconscious state to its totally present state, and bringing and allowing consciousness to shed light upon the situation, so you can thereby let go of them and let go of the pain that's been accumulated over time. Over time, and ultimately, it's a process, and it does take consciousness. It takes awareness. It's all energy too, because energy is awareness.
Correct.
That's how that figures into it for me, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think coming into that awareness, or if you like calling it awakening, is the beginning of realizing how to work with those energies. And one of the things collectively we're being called upon, not only within this nation, but I think it's happening throughout the world. And that's those earth changes we're experiencing. The people that are still in the midst of their lives being overturned by Sandy and the weather conditions that were brought with that, on the East Coast, as well as in other parts of the world, such as Japan, Australia. I think there's been some incidences around New Zealand, if I remember correctly. But this is a time where we each must make that divine connection with that divine presence that indwells within each of us. And it's that simple. Really, it's that simple. Coming back and allowing ourselves to be infused with that. And when people reach out, not only within our family, our circle of friends, our community, ultimately our nation, when people need to draw that energy, thank God for those of us who are awakened enough to hold that divine, that indwelling divine presence for all.
Mm-hmm. We have a question from chat.
Wonderful.
Danielle would like to know, how do you prevent a pain body from creation through yoga or meditation? How do you release that pain or fear in the now to be able to prevent it cropping up in the future down the road?
Father Bright?
Michael? I was hoping that you would take that one first.
And the two of you look at each other figuratively.
Yes, yes. Well, again, the process I was just explaining, and that is by being consciously, intentionally aware of that divine presence within you and allowing that stuff, which will be released, even by that influence of that spirit within you, be willing to give it up into that presence. Allow that presence to transform it. All we have to do, in a sense, is simply come into that awareness, into that presence, and sit there as we're sitting there in a tanning bed or on the beach, and by osmosis, by subjecting ourselves to that light, to that love, to that presence, in that being, it begins to purify our entire
system. The thing we have to be willing to do is continue to be in that mode of surrender, not allowing these things to embed themselves. But when these pain issues arise, simply acknowledge them for what they are, and then allow them to go into that presence, into that love, offer them up. And by continuously being in that state of awareness of doing that, how can they accumulate? How can they take hook within us and then dig itself in deeper? They can't if we're willing to release and be aware of the releasement of them into that divine presence.
I think once the realization of the pain body or whatever it is that we've been holding on to has been made, that once we get triggered, once we have that emotion just flush through us, we can stop it sooner and say, okay, this is not the past. That past is now illusion.
Right.
The pain that we carry with us once we have made that realization is just illusion. It's not real.
Right.
I would like to say just like one thing, and it's not a commercial for go out and do Kundalini yoga. It's just that I haven't found, at least in my experience, any path of meditation and breath work that is as powerful in releasing pain, trapped and stored pain, than Kundalini yoga. It's called the mother of all yogas for a reason, but that would be a whole show in itself. But ultimately, there is online portals that people can actually take online classes in Kundalini yoga to help work with their magnetic field, their aura, to work with their energy bodies and what are known as the 10 bodies in Kundalini yoga. And one of the websites I recommend is yogatech.com. That's Guru Rutana. She goes by that name. She is instrumental in offering online subscriptions monthly for a very minimal monthly fee to take these courses and to watch these classes and these kriyas and these sets of exercises and asanas and postures and breath work, and to actually do through yogic technology releasement work and do that purging process and detox. And because we ultimately pain can take manifestation of dis-ease in our body too. So we have to detox and get rid of a lot of the things that is stored. Pain has many levels to it, and that's just one thing I thought I might add for the conversation.
Yes, and I would also like to remind our listening audience that you can connect with Father Brian on Facebook. He's very much present there and has a Facebook page, and maybe he would be so kind to post on his Facebook page some of those resources that he's talking about tonight.
Yes.
The other thing I would say is never forget what we are releasing this pain body into is compassion, acceptance, understanding. And an old guru of mine, I love the way he eventually dealt with his depression and his psychosis. And by the way, this man was a trained psychologist. And of course, his name was Richard Alberts, also known as Ram Dass. But he shared this story that, oh, I was sitting, and here came my old friend, depression. And I simply said, oh, my old friend. It's so good to see you. Please sit down. I'll buy you a Coke and tell you a joke. And it was in the lightness, in the love, in that compassionate moment that he found that he no longer struggled against those, what used to be considered ever-present conditions, and that as they were really released in understanding, with awareness, with compassion, that they did not come around as often as they used to. But he acknowledged them, not as an enemy, not as something to reject, but something to embrace, to love, and to accept. Non-resistance.
You know, it's amazing how we can practice free will, because everything we do, what we feel, what we see, what we say, is a choice. We can choose
True.
To hold on to the past. We can choose to allow it to control us. We can choose it to allow it to prevent us from moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
We can also choose to let it be. We'll never
mm-hmm.
forget, but we can let it be. Be a part of who we are today. That define us.
And that is why I think it's so important that we come to this understanding of what true awareness is. Because we can be present to it. We can be present to all of those conditions that are unfolding, both the good and the bad, that are happening to us and within us, simply by being here now, being fully present. You can't make a choice about the past. The past is gone. You can't make a choice about the future because you have not been, the future is yet to be. It's a mystery unfolding. But the one thing we can do now, this moment, is make a choice about the possibilities of what the future can be by making good choices, wise choices, loving choices. And all of those choices happen within this moment.
And one of the choices that we can make is to not only take care of the emotion, the mental, but also take care of the physical. And that's where the yoga can come into play to assist with that.
Absolutely. And I think, to be honest with you, I think that is where the Eastern cultures have far more advances upon us from the past, because it is under their influence coming to the Western world that we have made such great strides within medicine, within philosophy, within psychology, within the major sciences and arts. They have all come from, may I say, the East. They were aware of this knowledge and in touch with it, for whatever reason, far sooner than most of us were exposed to it in the West.
You're right, Father Michael. You're very right about that. And I'm confined to a small space now because my phone charger is my lifeline here to the show. Forgive me if I'm not as my expansive minded self as usual. I agree completely with what you both were saying, and especially, I mean, we are still coming into our own in the West. We are still embracing. We're just embracing things that have been taught for thousands of years, and it's the wisdom, and it's being shared and brought by different masters and different master teachers and different people in medicine, like you said. And it's happening, and we have to allow it, and we have to see it, and seeing it happen is a beautiful thing, because ultimately we as a people, as a whole, as a collective, we stand to benefit the most from wisdom teachings that are eternal, that have been around, that have been time tested.
Yes. But let me say this. I believe very much that we have an opportunity, a glorious opportunity in the West, not only by integrating this understanding into our lives, into our cultures, but in so doing, we can only continue to rise greater and higher and truly be our brother's keeper. And I mean that in a positive way. We can give back to those cultures which are now, many of them, suffering as third world countries. We have the opportunity to give back to them what they have given to us, if we can integrate these great sciences and arts within our collective nation and individual lives. It's never too late. It's never too late. So turn off turn off the boob tube, quit listening to the doomsayers, and take self responsibility for your life, for your family, for your neighborhood, for your community, and be all that God wants you to be, right where you are. And we have to come into the realization how powerful we are, not only as individuals, but if we come together collectively, as we've continued to be able to do up into this moment within this great country of ours, we still have a glorious future.
Yes. Very much.
You know, a photo was shared on my Facebook. It says, "I choose to live by choice, not by chance, to be motivated, not manipulated, to be useful, not used, to make changes, not excuses, to excel, not compete. I choose self-esteem, not self-pity. I choose to listen to my inner voice, not to the random opinion of others."
Amen.
Yes.
We have to take accountability for how we feel. No one can make us feel a way without our permission.
That's right. And no matter where you are politically, I think there have been some people out there who have heard the American vote. When we voted this year, we voted for America. We voted for one another. And it's time that we now reinforce that vote by our actions and in the way we live our lives within each of our communities. This, again, has to be a grassroots movement, a grassroots action. No longer can we be dependent upon the government doing it for us. We must come back and do it for ourselves, and to give a clear sign, a clear voice, and a clear signal to those who we have elected in our names to move forward in the direction for the people and by the people of this great country.
And we're down to our last 2 minutes.
So, Father Brian, again, it's been an honor, a pleasure to have you on. Of course, I want to extend the invitation to you to return anytime. Micah, thank you for covering the studio tonight. And, of course, to each and every one of our listeners, we love you. You're in our prayers, and we wish you nothing but the very best blessings, love, and light. Good night.
Good night. Thanks, Father Brian.
Good night. Good night. Good night.